Hello and welcome to the latest and greatest episode of Spoon, the Tick versus the Podcast. It's been quite a while.
We should have left you without a dope beat to spit up to.
We've had some ups and downs over the past. It's been probably, what, 4 or 5 weeks since our last episode?
Yeah, at least four.
So let me start off by acknowledging that I do have hosts, co-hosts. I have Derek here.
Hello, everybody.
And Steven is here.
Hello. I was the one doing the rap guy impression just there. Just one of my many, many voices.
We've changed the format. We're now an all rapping podcast.
Yeah. We have to do it when the police aren't around.
Ooh, controversy.
We could be white rappers. We are white rappers. It's been a few weeks. We had some scheduling conflicts. People were on vacation. People came down with bird flu. All sorts of stuff. But yeah, a lot of avian flu going around. And then Steve and I last week actually sat down to record this very episode, sans Derek, and the recording just disappeared.
The Derek curse, we should have known, hit us.
Yeah. Hey.
And Steve and I can say this, but it was probably the greatest podcast episode of any podcast episode ever recorded. In the history of recorded media, it was funnier than Stripes.
It was, and even 1941.
Funnier than 1941.
It was better than Marc Maron interviewing J.D. Salinger.
Oh, it was quite an episode. But yeah, for whatever reason, the recording. This is why we always record backups.
Yes.
Except we didn't have a backup then. We just had the one, and it disappeared. So we are going to go back and watch the second episode of season two, Alone Together, featuring Omnipotus.
And by the way, Derek, when I say the Derek curse, I mean to spurn you is to bring down your wrath, not –
Yes.
You know.
Well, I'm ashamed that it took you this many episodes to realize that.
Derek, where were you? You were on the beach somewhere, weren't you?
I was. For our Eastern Shore listeners, I was in Sea Isle on the shore. Over in Dirty Jersey.
Mm. I can smell you.
A wonderful week. Yeah, trust me. I've done laundry a few times since then.
You kept sending the wife away so you could find a hooker. Go away. Yeah. Hooker time. No, I'm kidding. Derek has a lovely wife.
And a lovely hooker.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, here's the thing is, this episode of The Tick is not available on the US DVDs. It is available on the UK release. They did put out an edition in the UK.
Anything goes over there.
I know.
Heathen.
So for us patriots, we have to go to YouTube to watch this one. So we are on the Nostalgia Tunes channel. If you type in the tick Alone Together on YouTube, this should be the first one that comes up. It comes up as the tick dash SO2EO2 dash Alone Together. So if you wanted to watch along with us as we do this one, we welcome you to. We can't stop you. We can't force you. So here we go. Are you guys all set?
Ready when you are, sir.
Okay, what I'm going to do is
it's one of my open tabs.
I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, go. And on go, we hit the play button. So 1, 2, 3, go.
Been too long. It's familiar opening.
Yep.
So who's the blue guy?
The talk.
Oh.
Talk. That's what we should have called this.
TikTok.
TikTok.
That would have been way too easy. That actually did come up in my head as a possible title for this.
TikTok. Yeah, no, that's like cable access right there. Yeah. That ain't cutting edge podcast.
It would have been on suburban cable, you know, Saturday.
They put us on after Linda Richmond.
Now this episode we can honestly say we have some dead people in this one.
For the first time. So. But no, I just want to say, and I think maybe you agreed with me that I was this is one of the episodes I was most excited about to get to.
Yes.
I really find this one to be a special episode.
Steve is probably the biggest Marvel fan of the three of us. I'm not sure. Derek, you're more of a DC guy, right?
Yeah, comic book wise, I'm more of a DC guy. Movie wise.
But Steve knows his shit when it comes to Marvel. So this is right up Steve's Marvel alley.
Thank you for saying so. I have a special, I minored in the cosmic beings of the Marvel universe.
I do like this opening.
Yeah. Trying to clean up the cha.
The cha.
Yeah. The little Brian Pinade sticking his tongue out. Nice. Wait, that was Tim. That was your line from last time. I ripped you off. I'm sorry. I was newly minting it.
When the infamous crime lord this episode was written by Christopher McCulloch, who went on to actually create the Venture Brothers.
That's a damn fine pedigree right there.
Yep. There's Chairface getting all pissed off. They're going to erase his work.
Tim, don't you have a line about the pixelation? We're just trying to recreate here.
Yeah, we're trying to recreate the magic.
Yes, they're very upset about the missing recording.
Now, when did...
Oh, wait. I was going to say that this is the parody of 2001, obviously, with this, like, ethereal choir singing. It's a very nice touch, and it's a very adult touch.
I like that they've upgraded the NASA guys from the last time we had a space episode.
Oh, yeah. Everything going with the mission
so far? They're not just talking about spilt coffee. Remember,
and there's the monkey.
Yank the monkey, though. He's apparently managed to hold on to his position during a time when heads rolled at NASA.
I will say, if I went to the moon and I was able to do these amazing leaps, I definitely would. Moon mission release. I can totally get behind what the Tick is feeling right here.
Well, it's like the Tick feels that all the time. Oh, if only we could be as the Tick, as if we're always leaping around the moon, but on Earth.
And I do like how at least one of these astronauts is like, you know, the neighborhood boy from Brooklyn.
Yeah. He's a real palooka.
Or like a South Boston, yeah.
You just need one of them to be called Tex or something.
You could tell that the astronauts are kind of like, this fucking guy. Yeah, here, superhero, take this.
Well, you know, there's no room in the space administration for cowboys and hot doggers, you know? These got to be, like, ironically down-to-earth, hard-boiled guys to handle the stresses. It's a really clever setup. This whole opening, this whole act to get the Tick out into space.
Yep.
Right, like, I wonder which came first. Did they sit down and go, "Hey, we got to do an episode that's like a parody of the G word. How do we get Tick into space?" Or do they start with like, "Hey, what if the Tick went to go clean up that mess on the moon?"
Yeah, I wonder if that was part of the plan when they originally did the Cha. Like, well, we'll come back to it. We'll try to erase the Cha. The Quixote,
which I found out, I thought that was some sort of obscure joke the writers that McCulloch was doing. No, that there actually is a Quixote space probe. And there he is, the big reveal.
He looks familiar.
Omnipotent. I do you guys remember the HeroClix game?
Yeah, I remember the pieces. I don't think I ever played it, though.
Wizard World Philadelphia back, 10, 11 years ago, they had an exclusive. It was a Galactus HeroClix.
Oh, man, this is such a great little touch. Prince. The Little Prince goes bye-bye.
Yeah.
Sacre bleu!
Yeah, it's really inspired. You know, and wonder if the writer, like, if that was like a loving homage to something he remembered, or if he hated reading it and this was his revenge.
But
Big Jack,
we should say that Omnipotence is obviously based on Galactus. And they had a HeroClix Galactus figure, which, you know, the regular ones are about half inch tall. This thing was about 18 inches tall. It was like near infinite power.
That's cool. I still have a Galactus action figure that he's about 10 inches tall, and he comes with a globe, I guess, for scale or something, you know, so he can hold this planet. So his hands are sort of formed so that he can hold up this globe, but if the globe is not in his hand and you lower it, you extend the arms down, it looks like he's sort of just showing off where his genitalia would be. You know, like right here, ladies. Space ladies.
And that's how you have him presented in your house.
Yeah, that's the only way he stands up, actually. Not a well-done action figure.
I do think that part of this episode was inspired by the death of Superman with this huge statue here. So,
yeah.
which was about 3 years before this. Or did they do anything with like the death of Captain Marvel? Did they do anything in that comic?
Oh, wait, Captain Marvel dies of cancer? No, it's like all the heroes sitting around moping at like death vigil. Like he's not even dead till the end, but they're just
they all shave their heads in support.
Sweetly reminiscing.
So this reminds me kind of like Funeral for a Friend right here with the Superman.
This is a very good point.
I love how the cheeses and jams sparkle too.
They do. They look like, I mean, that's usually a cartoon shorthand for like enchanted or poisoned.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Not this time.
And so
there's a cheese factory run by a bunch of strippers.
How much time has gone by at this point? Because the tick is hurtling through space.
And when you factor in theory of relativity, you know, it could be very little time. Earth could age while the tick, you know, goes through moments.
Boom.
But
because they had time to build that tick statue and set up a park.
So I guess potentially a long time. We were talking to him the first time about, like, is the tick indestructible in space? Did he need that spacesuit?
Yeah, because he's obviously breathing here, and he had a spacesuit initially. Maybe they just didn't want to test it, put him in a zero-oxygen environment.
Yeah.
Well, knowing his attitude towards things, he was probably very excited to wear that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, I'm going to be part of the team.
Right.
Hey, this cheese is pretty good.
Go on.
Deflator Mouse is really taking advantage of the cheeses.
The tick doesn't need oxygen, but he can catch a cold.
Yeah. There's
but it was an uncommon cold.
that is true. It was a cold from a different dimension. No, that was from this dimension. I'm sorry.
Yes.
What? Who? Thrakazog?
Well,
he had the cold
prior to Thrakazog's.
Look, when something happens in sci-fi you don't understand, it's unstable molecules.
A wizard did it.
Well, that was a very dynamic shot of the tick, you know, with his sweeping his hand across.
So what Tim and I couldn't understand, Derek, I don't know if you have any further insight into this, is this not on the DVD? Because Marvel flexed its muscle about the Galactus similarity, and even so, is that really grounds for them to disallow, as if somehow this is like disrespecting Galactus or taking money out of their pocket, you know, like the usual intellectual property arguments. This is basically just like a funny homage.
Right. Yeah, I was going to ask you guys if you guys had found anything, because I looked and I couldn't find anything specific as to why this wasn't on, and that would be the only thing I could possibly think of. I mean, you know, unless Neil Armstrong got involved and said he didn't want people trying to blow up the moon or something, but, you know, and I honestly, the only thing I could think of is that it's the reference to Galactus.
On Wikipedia, it does say that they asked Christopher McCulloch about it because basic episodes are the ones that are not on the DVDs. And they asked him about this one, and he says he doesn't know why it's not on the DVD. I would think it has to do with Galactus, but at the same time, wouldn't this fall under parody? Like, if you can make those porn parodies of people in Superman and Batman costumes, mm-hmm. And the Star Wars porns. So
we don't know anything about those, Tim.
I know. I saw Heinfeld once.
No, that's real.
I think this would also fall under parody. We gotta
hurry. Right. But every episode is a parody of some superhero trope or convention.
Yeah. He's essentially stupid Superman, if you think about
right.
it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. They might as well have a problem with American Made, it's like a Captain America thing.
The Tick should now have a problem with. Isn't there a female Captain America? I think the Tick should have a problem with the new female. There should be a lawsuit from Fox Kids.
Well, the Tick is just now regaining its speed and strength, I think.
And there's a female Iron Man, I think, is what you're thinking. And Captain America is a Hydra agent or something like that.
Yeah.
Now, where did he get the golf cart?
I was just thinking that. Did he build it?
He's got like a little garage on him just in case. just like, for when a parasite hits him.
I like that scene that just went by. You could see Omnipotence's little feet sort of wiggling down miles away.
Fire us, boy.
Now, just in case for our listeners who enjoy this but don't know anything about comics, if there is any such person, that Galactus is this cosmic entity who needs the life force of planets to live, so he travels through space eating planets. So he is like known as the Doomsday across many, many cultures. And his heralds, the most famous of which was Silver Surfer, would travel to the planet and say, make your peace, put your affairs in order, because, prepare you the coming of Galactus.
Make your peace, dudes.
And he's my favorite, I think my favorite Jack Kirby Stan Lee creation.
And he was fantastic in that Fantastic Four movie.
Wasn't he just a cloud in that?
Yeah,
a
cloud of light. Gaseous cloud.
He was gaseous.
Yeah. Gaseous. Marvel should have sued for that.
Should have sued themselves.
And they gave the direct permission. I love the grooming that he's doing all over. And that sound effect when he's cracking Omnipotence's toes. Is the greatest.
I like that. This is another one of those episodes where, the villain is a villain and is comfortable with doing what he's doing. But at the end of the day, the message is that he was alone and he wanted a friend.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all. Like, he just wanted the Tick to hang out with him.
Yeah, you're right. That is like, that's a repeat theme of the Tick's villains, from Pig Leg. who we haven't gotten to yet.
No, not yet.
El Cid is actually like a really lovable guy with like a real inferiority complex.
When I first saw this, I was not. This is going way back to 95, I guess. I was not super familiar with the Marvel stuff, so I didn't really know a whole lot about Galactus. I initially thought of him as more as Unicron.
Yes.
Transformers, which is basically saying a world eater. So I do remember that, thinking, oh, he's like Unicron.
Yes, the late great Orson Welles.
Yep. Oh, we should.
But that was allowed to be released. The Marvel lawyers didn't have a problem with that.
Well, didn't Marvel own the rights to the Transformers comic book?
They did. They did.
Yeah.
Ron Feinberg is the voice of Omnipotence here. He passed away about 10 years ago. Character actor on pretty much just about every TV series in the 80s, 70s and 80s. And probably he did do some work in Transformers. He was Headstrong, and I believe he did Rock and Wrestling. I think it was Andre the Giant in Rock and the WWF Rock and Wrestling.
I think you're right. I remember seeing that when I was doing some research.
He seemed to specialize in like deep voiced characters, like Grizzlikoff from Darkwing Duck. Santa Claus on a later Tick episode.
He may have been. I can't remember specifically the name. I remember because I used to collect autographs from Transformer actors, and I remember sending one out, and this would have been around 2005 when he passed away. I remember sending stuff out and getting a reply back from a wife or something saying that we're sorry that, but you know, so-and-so passed away, and I don't remember if it was Ron Feinberg or not. I always get Ron Feinberg. I keep thinking Paul Eading, who was the microscope Transformer. It might have been him.
I get Ron Feinberg and Goldemeyer confused a lot. What would the tick
do if he was here? So. We haven't mentioned the whirling Scottish Dervish yet.
Yes.
Does he deserve mention?
Not really. I think I said to you, Steve, he reminds me of Batroc for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
He looks again. Like he stopped at a Halloween shop to pick up some costume stuff there. It doesn't make much sense. He's got like half devil and half Scotsman.
For our less savvy listeners, Batroc the Leaper is a minor Captain America rogue who I think keeps getting brought back just out of affection from the various writers. Like Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
He adds nothing to the universe.
Batroc.
But it's funny.
When
until he undergoes the inevitable badass makeover, which they all do in time.
When you put Omnipotus, you know, in context with Earth, he's really not that big. He's like about the size of like maybe two Statue of Liberties. How much of the Earth could he really eat? At that
How
size?
Much could any of us eat, Tim? That's what makes this such a great planet.
There's enough Earth to go around. He eats
worlds. Here the tick is preparing to make what I would call the Picard case, which is where he stands before the, you know, all-powerful entity arguing for why humanity is so great. How many times did Picard have to do that to Q?
Did he have to do that when Wesley fell into the flowers and was going to be put to death?
You always got to bring that one up.
That's the one episode I remember. Of all of the episodes of Next Generation, that's the one episode I can remember. That was like season one or two.
Here it is. Tick presents the measure of a man. And women. Why would Omnipotus start with a bridge? That's not the life force of, well...
It's like a noodle.
It's the life force of commerce. But hope it's not an American bridge, because... Our infrastructure.
Who?
I like how Tick has to, where do we get these cheeses?
And why are there still some left?
Oh, come on, man. I had to leave. Steve and I have had this argument many a time. Steve, I thought you were my friend.
Tim, I was just using you to trim my unibrow.
You get access to delicious, delicious bridges.
Over the city bay.
Now, I know it's not pertinent to the action right now, Tim, but you mentioned something about where is the Superman statue?
Well, when Superman died in the funeral for a friend, they built a Superman statue.
Like in real life?
No, in the comics.
So
they had a funeral similar to what we saw here at the beginning of this episode.
I thought, and it made sense to me, that like the Cleveland or somewhere.
Oh, by the way, there is in Metropolis, Illinois, there's a 40-foot tall Superman statue, which I've visited a couple times.
Yeah.
And then down the street, there's a Lois Lane statue. With, featuring the image of Noel Neal, who just passed away this past week.
Yeah. At 95.
She was a foxy, foxy chick. And even as an older lady, little foxy.
Mm-hmm.
Noel Neal, well, I'll remind me after the episode is over about Noel Neal. I'll tell you.
Our listeners don't deserve it.
If you're a Patreon subscriber,
yeah,
you can hear all about Tim's fantasies of Noel Neal.
Noel Neal, yes. Yeah, she was a pretty foxy chick. It's not like anyone lives up there. I've seen it. So now they're discussing. He just wants to take a bite of the moon.
No, and Arthur's so impotent. Arthur, like, speak up. As I think I complained to you before, the shameful moral of this story is Arthur does not really flourish when forced to sidekick with other heroes, which you could say, like, oh, okay, he needs the tick, but this also could have been a chance for him to really come into his own, and he's pretty useless against the dervish. And he even it ultimately needs the tick to fall from the sky to stop the bad guy, which is, you know, not as a sad commentary about Arthur.
We saw that in The Terror as well. When The Terror was set up as organization, they had everybody fighting The Terror, and they still needed the tick to come in and save the day.
Point.
It's just a city of ineffectual heroes. And
right, but Arthur, I mean, when forced to, he can use his mind, and he's stopped some menaces, but didn't help him this time.
Yeah. And then we saw at the end there was that bite in the moon, which will continue on through the remainder of the series.
Yeah.
The things I like.
It's a really funny touch. They started out trying to repair it and made it worse. A lesson for us all. Never try.
Yeah. Never try.
And if we had somebody here like Neil deGrasse Tyson, I'm sure he would tell us how that's just going to throw us hurtling into the sun. It'll throw off the trajectory of the moon. And
that is a good
mean
point.
Our doom.
I did mention, like, I wonder how that would affect, like, the tides and, you know, bird migration and that kind of stuff by losing.
Yeah, but you know what? Brainchild brought the moon a lot closer to Earth, and all it did was create, like, a windstorm, if you remember.
We didn't see what was happening in India. India was, like, tsunamis. It basically killed off the entire third world. You know.
Oh, jeez.
Well, that was the episode there. That is one of my favorite episodes of the series. Mm-hmm. It really is a great one.
Nice to get Tick off planet. The Galactus spoof is clever in multiple ways.
Episode gets an 8.6 out of a possible 10 on IMDb.
Well, if you listen to those Poindexters. You know.
I would probably rate it a little higher. That one would be up in the nines. I was mentioning Noel Neal, for years.
We're still recording, right, Tim?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Noel Neal for years was she was like an administrative assistant for different people, like Paul Newman and who played Magnum PI? What was his name?
Sellers? Not Peter Sellers. Yeah. I always used to do this. Peter Sellers.
Selleck.
Yeah.
Chameleon. Yeah, Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck. So you would get – when you would send autograph requests in, Noel Neal would be the person that would sign the autographs. So I have a Paul Newman autograph signed by Noel Neal in my collection.
That's – what is – wow.
And you can tell they're the same because when you see Noel Neal's autograph, her ends are a certain way, and she doesn't change her handwriting up to match Paul Newman's, so it's almost the same signature. She's just writing Paul Newman in her handwriting. So
she wasn't acting anymore. You're saying
she wasn't acting. The last thing she showed up in was she was in Superman Returns. She played the dying woman that Lex Luthor had seduced to for her fortunes and money.
Okay, all right.
That was Noel Neal. But I have an autographed picture. I got her at a convention years ago. But I keep the Paul Newman. It's a picture of Paul Newman from Road to Perdition, signed by Noel Neal's hand. Yeah, that's the only reason I keep it, because it was signed by Noel Neal. Mm-hmm.
Did you confront her at the convention?
You fucking bitch.
I have
George Reeves, and then you fuck me. Not literally. I'd be happier about that.
I think my proudest piece of my collection is a picture of Tom Hanks signed by Peter Scolari. and he was happy to get the work, let me tell you.
Scolari's like, yeah, I'll sign that picture of Joel versus a volcano for $5.
Well, I told you about my Tick autograph from Townsend, right?
He
signed his name, and then he wrote whatever, spoon, and then he wrote Mikey underneath it. And he looked down at it, and then he looked at me and went, fuck. And I go, what? And he goes, I wrote Mikey. I wasn't Mikey on this show. So then underneath he wrote, AKA The Tick. So maybe in folklore, the Tick's real name is Mikey.
So he was in Ninja Turtles mode.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think part of it was I had just had him sign the hood to my Ninja Turtles van. So he was probably still in that Mikey headset, even though he had a giant blue guy in front of his face.
That's so funny.
That's great. Well, all right. Saying,
was it just a job?
Where's the passion?
He does a voice on the Transformers, Tenzin Coleman, or one of the Transformer series, and they actually based the look of his character on the Tick. Oh. I wish I could remember the name of the character.
Hmm.
So yeah, everybody look that up.
That's our job. Don't look it up. We'll research it and join us again.
So, all right. Well, thank you guys. We'll be back next week with the next episode, The Tick, Armless but Not Harmless.
No jumping ahead, everyone.